What is up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for episode 128 of the Gamecast. I'm one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Hello, everybody.
And today we have an awesome guest, a good friend of mine, Roroni Shogun. What up, Show?
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Hey.
Now, for the people who don't know, give a brief introduction. Based on his, at least, you know, looking at his Twitch, he's a entertainer, variety content creator who enjoys traveling, eating great food, and having blasts with friends old and new. I know a little bit more, and not to say that, you know, we go way back or nothing, but I'm just saying, he also is a stand-up individual, a principled individual, a good friend, a good brother to those who are related and aren't related, and someone who is, just a blessing to be around. So I think if you are into streaming, you've been, you know, in the streaming streets, you know, Twitter and Twitch and all that good stuff, definitely check out his streams when you have a chance. It's a good time. It's definitely a good time. And, you know, wholesome and whatnot, you know, it get a little ratchet sometimes, but it's a good time.
Sometimes it needs to. Yeah.
It's a good time.
Ratchet is always a good time.
Right? So we're happy to have you here with us today. Before we get into the main aspect of the show, I wanted to talk about some stuff that we did this week, you know, sharing outside of avoiding the heat. Recently, I went to see two movies. I'm not going to talk about the second one because that's a whole nother thing. But I took one of my daughters to see Toy Story 5, and it was really good, surprisingly so. And I think maybe not surprising. My wife and I were talking about how each odd number Toy Story is like the best, like number one, number three, and now number five. And there were moments where I swore someone was cutting onions. I'm not going to hold you. I feel like people were in there just at certain key moments. They're like, you know what? I want to make a panini. Let me cut up some onions real quick.
It was just,
they got me. They got me. And not because the film is, you know, super deep in that regard, but it was more so like watching the child go through certain things, and then as a parent recognizing that in your children, especially with the person that I taught, that I took with me, kind of hit close to home. If you've seen Inside Out, there's some things that they do in that movie where if you're a parent, you kind of understand the anxiety of having to move to another place and your kid not fitting in and stuff like that. So Toy Story 5 has a lot of that type of stuff too, where a child might not fit in, and then what happens when other children are a little mean to this. And I don't want to say bad. I'm not trying to say bad kids, because they're not bad kids, but because children don't kind of understand the power of their words, some things that they say can be very harmful. Right. And so watching this movie as an adult with my child or one of my kids, there was some moving parts where I was like, oh wow, this is well written, and this is really cool. And I kind of have to, you know, I have to sit with my feelings for a bit, because I didn't want to like alarm anyone, you know, especially my kid, like, well, why are you crying or whatever? But it was like, wow, that's really interesting angle that they took, because this film is focused on Jesse's journey. This is not the Buzz and Woody journey at all. They're you know, important parts of the film, but this is mainly Jesse and her, you know, past and present. And I thought they did a solid job, and I definitely recommend it. If you haven't, you know, if you're done with Toy Story, I get it, because the beginning is just like all the other Toy Stories, which took me aback a little bit, because I'm like, oh, we're doing this again. But I want to say towards, like, you know, getting into the second half of the film, it takes a turn, and I'm like, oh, this is really good. I like what you guys are doing. Well written. So I definitely recommend that. The other film that I saw that I'm not going to talk about too much was Supergirl. The only thing I'm going to say about Supergirl was it's not as bad as everyone says. It's okay. I feel like the internet is either trash or amazing. There's nothing in between. And unfortunately, that kind of colors how people feel about stuff. I'm here to tell you, it's okay. It's cool. You know what I mean? If you want to wait till it comes out on HBO Max, by all means. If you want to go to the theater, that is awesome too. I think you're going to have a good time, as long as you keep your expectations, you know. Anyway, but that's what I've been doing as of late. Again, dodging the heat. Show, what about you? What have you been up to?
I had a question in reference to your the Supergirl thing. Oh, yeah, would you say it's a good fit and like similar to the previous or the latest Superman movie, or it kind of takes its own takes its own narrative.
I think it's good as a branching off path or a branching story, you know, but it's not, there's clearly a difference in the writing and directing in that Superman versus this one. And without giving too much away, it's more so like there's a little bit more experience with the other Superman or with Superman. There's a little bit more, because even the idea, and this is not a spoiler or whatever, but like for the people who haven't seen Superman, it doesn't start with his origin.
Yeah.
Like that alone takes a bit of, you know, you have to be confident in what you're doing. If you're not going to start with an origin story, you have to be confident. Like everybody knows Superman. Okay, we're going to go with it. Supergirl does a little bit of the same while backtracking to kind of clue people in on why she's the way she is. And unfortunately, not everything works in terms of your emotions or how you feel about this particular character. Like certain things that certain conclusions they come to don't feel 100% earned. And I don't think that's necessarily a negative or indicative of the actor's ability to convey an emotion. It's more so we got to get all this information out. We got to do it very quickly. So we have to cut certain things. And because of that, you get the normal flow of a superhero movie where it's very much this, then action, then this, then action. And so, yeah, it's kind of like, oh, we've seen this before. It had areas where it could have been better based on the story they were trying to build, but then it falls into that normal formula, and that kind of, it kind of ruins it a little bit. And ruin, I say, it just makes it go from good to okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. That's fair. Mm-hmm. Thank you for answering that. I appreciate it.
Yeah. But yeah, I know. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to pivot to the, my week, what you were saying, but if you have another thought, I want to interrupt.
Oh, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, thank you again for that introduction. For those of y'all who don't know me, again, my name is Roni Shogun. I've been streaming for about, since 2018. I started streaming in 2018 till now. I have some, I've worked on film sets and things like that, but also I worked at a church. So thank you, Kenny, for those really, really kind words. I care a lot about people. My week has been, it's definitely been dodging the heat. If you can find any kind of, like, you know, shade, some water, any kind of relief today. Our church, we had church at the park today, so that was very interesting. Yeah, it was hot, but it was nice. But as soon as I got there, I was kind of ready to go home, which is terrible to say, but I was like, yeah. But it's been nice. But this week is my brother's birthday, so I'm gonna go to drive up to Charlotte to see him and bring him back home, to get him to see all the family and stuff like that. So it's very, very, very busy week, and I'm hoping that the temperature will chill out eventually. So it's not too bad. But yeah, I'm happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me, though. Yeah.
Nice.
Awesome. And Tess, I know you was dodging the heat as well.
Dodging, ducking, boxing, doing all kinds of stuff with the heat. I'm just saying, we out here looking like alpacas and just fighting for our lives. Basically, I feel like it's like there's a, you know, like if you wear a suit, like a tie, a necktie or whatever, like I'm being dragged across the street to work by my tie because I can't physically walk. Like I'm just like some supernatural force is pulling me to be there. This heat is stupid. Okay.
Yeah.
Global warming is clearly a thing and y'all need to start recycling or something. I don't know. Yes. We got to do something because this is not
We need
it.
To collectively do something because. Yeah.
This ain't it. It's flooding in Ghana. It's flooding. Okay, over there. Like, what is happening? This world is cray cray and it needs to end. So, I don't mean the world needs to end. I just mean this.
The craziness. Right. Yeah, the craziness needs to stop. We need to band together and we need to start recycling. We gotta do our part. And also, what's ridiculous is we only have one planet, okay? One. Contrary to popular belief, we only have one. So we have to be really good stewards of it, too.
Speaking of only having one planet, I was watching one of my favorite Instagrammers. Did you know they're trying to start fires on the moon just to figure out how to control the fires on the moon?
Why?
We're going to go to the moon and start fires so that we can figure out how to control fires on the moon. But the moon doesn't have a fire problem right now.
And it's, don't you need oxygen for fire? Oh man, it's a, I don't want to, It's unfortunate. Like, I know how people say like the internet isn't the real world, and I 100% believe that. But it's also a reflection of the real world sometimes, because oh my gosh, the amount of people that just say things with such confidence. I've never experienced seeing people be so confident about the wrong things mm-hmm. in my life, and are just like, and we're gonna get into some of this when we get to the main topics. But there's a lot of information going around, and it makes it hard to actually like jump in and have a good debate about the future of all of this stuff, because people won't take time to Google. And I don't think that's
part of the plan too, is to have people misinformed, severely misinformed.
Yeah.
So then you can misdirect.
Yeah, then you can take away education, period, because we can go back mm-hmm. to the times where the common folk didn't have education at all, because the upper folk said that they didn't need it. They don't need to be educated. They don't need to know anything, because we don't need their input on anything.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why we're driving right into you know what? Let me go ahead and move on. Because this is gonna make me think my head hurt.
This is gonna be a good episode.
Always.
You know what I mean? You know, so this week, we want to talk about a bunch of things. Some of it dealing with Sony. If you've been online as of late, or at least I would say social media, maybe not online, but social media, there's been a lot of talks about Sony and the choices that they are making. And I wanted to talk about this on the podcast, because I feel like I am yelling into the void when I'm on Twitter trying to correct people and whatnot. But one of the big things that dropped recently was that Sony is removing films from their digital libraries, from your digital libraries, if you've bought movies or television shows via Sony. Now, Sony and Microsoft has remove the stores, mm-hmm. So you can't buy movies through them anymore. And Microsoft, on one hand, though, was saying that, or allows you to still watch if you have the app. So if you download their movie and television app, you can watch whatever you bought. As of right now, and I want to make this clear, because this whole console war crap, as of right now, Microsoft has not removed, from what I can understand, has not removed films and stuff from their library. However, if there's a licensing issue, they will do that. And I've seen that happen across the board. In Microsoft instance, it was a video game. I actually had a video game removed from my account, even though I paid for it. And when I asked for a refund, it happened twice. One time they gave me a refund. The second time, the rep told me to try out one of these games. I thought they were giving me a game, okay, so we're going to swap. They're like, try these games out. And they were all free. And I was like, you know what? Yeah, you're a jerk. So I just want people to know that this happens across the board.
Yeah.
However, it Sony is the highlight right now because of other stuff that they did, and we're going to get to that in a minute. So for those who don't know, I'm moving over to shout out to Game Informer. Marcus Stude over there wrote about this. He says that Sony has announced it will be removing hundreds of purchased movies and television shows by Studio Canal from players' digital libraries. Now, Studio Canal isn't necessarily, when you think of that particular company, it's not a, you know, Warner Brothers or Sony is not one of them. But they handle the digital aspect of it, where it means we're in the sense of like putting these movies into digital storefronts for people. Mm-hmm. And so the way this works is Sony pays for a license. That license has a certain time limit. And when you buy, because of how licensing works, you purchase a license, essentially, to watch whatever it is mm-hmm. for however long. And it's basically like a really, really long rental. Mm-hmm. That being said, it does make you feel a way when something is pulled from your library after you purchased it.
Yeah.
They go on to say that they're going to start removing the films on September 1st of this year. And right now, they're hinting at the licensing agreements. That's pretty much what it is. Some of the films that are going to be removed are From Dusk Till Dawn, the Evil Dead series, Terminator 2, This is Spinal Tap, Train to Busan. On the television side, American Gods, The Young Pope, Trust Me. A lot of content. Like over 500, at least 500 films, I think, and television shows that are going to be removed from people's accounts. And because this happened to me, I'm not surprised. Like, this has happened before. Mm-hmm. But I feel like something needs to be done about this because of how things are moving. Contrary to popular belief, people still buy DVDs. People still buy them. But the amount of people, at least in terms of forward facing, right? Best Buy removed a lot of their DVD sections from their stores, not because people aren't buying, but because people aren't buying from there, right? Yeah. And so you got people buying on Amazon and stuff like that, or secondhand. And because of that, though, Best Buy is like, we don't need to invest in this anymore. Sony's looking at it at the same, in the same regard, right? Why pay for this digital library license, you know, for these particular films? When people are, you know, they're not buying from us anymore. They're going to be going to whatever digital storefront now. We're moving out of this sector. We don't really care, essentially. We're not going to keep paying because they have to keep paying for the license. Mm-hmm. And that's an interesting, that's, I guess, well for a business move. Consumer wise, though, that makes me hesitant to buy anything from you.
Yep.
Because right. the idea is that I bought this. I knew going in that it was a license. But my understanding was that it was going to stand the test of time, at least longer than what it was. And, you know, because some of the pushback is, well, you know, if you have DVDs, DVD rot and all this other stuff, right? I have VHS tapes that still work.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So
cassette tapes that still work.
Right. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, I know nothing lasts forever. Yeah. But I do expect my content to be around a little longer than 10 years, a little longer than 12 years. I really, really do. And so everybody's in the uproar about it. And I totally get it. And I just want people to understand that this is not just a Sony problem. This is an Apple problem. This is a Google problem. This is a Microsoft problem. We got to stop with this fighting console mm-hmm. stuff. This is a digital versus physical debate.
Yeah.
So I wanted to preface that before we get into it. Now that that's been out there, how do you guys feel about this situation? Show, what are your thoughts?
Well, and I'd go a step further from saying digital versus physical. I would say it's a company versus consumer debate, mm-hmm. honestly, right. because the companies are trying to hold on to as much money as they can without giving a product or, you know, a physical product at that. But without, they take your money and essentially, like you said, it's a glorified rental. And people aren't going to read the fine print on that. They think that they own it. And it does become rather strange when they say they're going to reach into your library and remove what you already purchased.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have the idea that you purchased something, a lot of people think, oh, well, I bought this. I own it now. And you're not going to take from my digital library. And that's just not the case. And I think it's very dangerous. I think if companies are going to do this, they should have some kind of reminder that, okay, if licensing leaves or in the negotiations, if licensing is revoked from Sony, then I think there should be a way that consumers can still keep their product, if that makes sense.
Right.
Yeah.
Because Train to Busan, even that came out in 2016. As you said, that's literally just a decade. I have games that are older than that sitting on, and we're talking about physical stuff.
Right.
And I purchased like DVDs. I purchased the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. All the seasons of that, you know, because like I love that show. That show was so good to me. It's nostalgic. So it's like, yeah, I'd love to have a physical hard copy of that. And for them to remove these videos that may have sentimental value for people. I know, what is it? Dusk Till Dawn is a cult classic
mm-hmm.
for
right.
that genre. So I know a lot of people would probably feel a type of way that they won't have access to that anymore. And I think it's a really bad practice. If Sony does it, then other companies are going to follow. And I think we need to kind of raise the alarm now before these other companies start thinking, well, they're saving money doing that. So we need to start doing that as well. So.
Agreed.
Yeah. And that's that's what happened with Apple. Apple mm-hmm. removed films, Apple removed music even. And even though they have a storefront through their, I don't know if it's still called iTunes, but you can purchase music and stuff through them.
Yeah.
They've removed stuff as well, you know, mm-hmm. and nobody, I remember there was that old case. I think Bruce Willis was going at Apple because he was like, I want to be able to leave my music to my children when I pass away. And Apple was like, we can't transfer the license. And he's like, well, I spent all this money building this up. Like, there's got to be some way we can work this out.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it went away because legally it says you are only buying a license. You feel me? Regardless of legality, it sucks. But yeah, Tess, how do you feel about this announcement?
Same. Hundo. 100%. It's ridiculous. Exactly the same. It is the company versus the consumer. I mean, it happened to me when Google Play or Google, whatever was the music that was Google at one point.
Yes.
The artists formerly known Google as Play. Google Plays music. Right. So, whatever it was, I lost all those things that I bought. I was really feeling myself because I just had some money. Like, I was like, oh, I have a job and I haven't been fired from it in like, you know, every 20 days like I normally do. And I was like, yay, let me buy these things. And I bought them. And I was so happy. And I got my Bruno Mars CDs and I got my Prince. I was like, I went back and I got Prince. So I was like, so proud of myself. I was like, good to do. Let me get these. Let me get that. Leona Lewis, for crying out loud. Like, what? Like,
love Leona Lewis.
Okay. I was just getting, I got some things, not a lot of things, but some things. And then next thing you know, Google's like, we don't have music anymore. And I found out like, what, 2 months after they closed it. So I never got to download my thing. Never got to download my music. And I think that that's BS. I don't have a lot of money and I don't like this idea. I mean, I get it. We make this agreement, but consumers are not believing that companies are just going to be out to screw them. We do believe in the exchange of money for goods, not temporarily, because the cost doesn't act like it's temporary. If a CD, for people who don't know what a CD is, a compact disc, not a certificate of deposit, but a compact disc that we used to go to the store and buy on release days, which was Tuesdays, you know, might cost us anywhere between $15, $18, I don't know, $11 to $18, somewhere around there. Yeah, exactly, that thing. The thing with the hole.
CD.
The thing with the
hole. Yeah.
And I also want to make a call out to, I think I was reading it on Twitter. I think I read it on Twitter. They said a little kid came home to their parent and said, hey, you know, mom, dad, or whatever. The teacher pressed the button under the TV and this little drawer came out. And then she had this thing with a hole in it and she put it in there and closed the drawer and then the movie played. What's that? And I was man, these little children, they don't even know what a CD or a DVD is.
Man.
They only know digital. They only know turn on TV and then the Alexa remote gets you movies and television. They don't know. They don't know. They've never seen a VHS tape. And this is their reality. So sadly, the younger individuals will think that it's normal to pay the money, to pay $25 for music, for a collection, for an album, only for it to be taken away from them in 8 years.
Yeah.
And then they'll just, I mean, like, and I feel like the normalization of that is the conversation between these young people as they're growing up will be like, oh yeah, well that's normal. So like, you know, you just have to like buy it somewhere else or something, or, you know, you just can't get it anymore. It's just gone. No, it's history. And I paid for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Facts. And now, go ahead.
Sorry. I wanted to add that with everything or this media essentially becoming digital, it can change right under our noses.
Yes.
Which is scary because they'll have, you know, they can censor it. They could change the meaning of a scene or something like that. So, because that happens in music now.
Yes.
Know, where they need to change something, there was an error, or God forbid, a producer or a writer has a disagreement, and then something gets taken off of an audio track.
Yes.
So, and then re-uploaded the next, literally within an hour. So, I think it's very harrowing that in we don't own the licensing, that the content that we consume can change very quickly, or, you know, without us agreeing or understanding. For example, Lilo and Stitch, the digital copy, there's a change for safety reasons in the original Lilo and Stitch to the current Lilo and Stitch that's on like Disney Plus or whatever.
Right.
So I think that's very concerning as well, and something that we need to think about when we get into the conversation of digital versus physical media.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah. And even I was going to say, Tess, with your example of the Google Play, the music, the solution wasn't better. Like I had purchased a lot through there. And the reason being that Google was more attractive than Apple, this was when Apple was more restrictive.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't move stuff as much as you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I would do, I would buy and put it on Google, and then Google would put it everywhere that I wanted it to go, because it wasn't, it was like, you purchase through us, you get the license, but you also get the files. Mm-hmm. And so you can move them around digitally, wherever. And so their solution was, when they were shutting it down, it's like, hey, we're going to go to YouTube Music. They were like, download it here and transfer it over to YouTube Music. So I did that. So I kept all my records. The problem, though, was that I could no longer remove them, which was the whole point of having it via Google.
To that file.
Exactly. Now the files, granted, I still have the original files, so I'm good. Mm-hmm. But if you just moved it and wasn't thinking about it, all your digital albums are stuck on that particular app. You cannot take them anywhere else. They're just stuck. There's no option. When you go to download, it says download a temporary license to listen to it offline if you have YouTube Premium. After a few days, that goes away, and then you have to re-download it again. You know what I mean? So even in the process of trying to help you out or you know, offering a solution, it still locked you in this box, which was the whole purpose of Google Play versus Apple in the first place. So yeah, it's not a good look. And yeah, the like I was saying, even with purchasing a license, because we do that with video games a lot on Steam or whatever the case may be, the understanding is that it's going to be a while before this potentially goes away. That's the understanding. But a while for us and apparently the companies are two different things.
Right. Like, again, a while for me is my lifetime. A while for me is as long as my ADHD and autism keep me hyper focused on something, which might be a day or it might be 100 years. I don't know. I don't know how long I'm supposed to live, but they shouldn't get to decide that for me because I paid my money.
Right.
Exactly. And because like I've in the odd thing about kids not knowing certain things, like depending on your household, my kids know all about that stuff.
Right.
And with me growing up, seeing 8-tracks was a thing.
Right.
You know, when we and the Walkman and then moving on to CDs and so on and so forth. The fact that one generation could be so removed from all of that is disturbing. when we talk about, you know, preservation and history and stuff like that. That's a bigger thing. So moving on to the next topic. So this is in lieu of this topic, because Sony did the same thing or did another thing that was like, you know, baffling.
Yeah, double win.
Where they announced this and then right after that announced that they will have no longer, they're not making physical copies of games anymore. Their next system is not going to be, it's going to be digital only. And from what I'm reading, it also seems like they're not going to be making physical copies of games for the PS5 either in 2028. So even games that are going to come out to both systems, you're not going to have a physical copy of it. So this is where a lot of misinformation came in, and I want to address it because, oh my God. So, shout out to Dell on Twitter. He's a developer. He's worked on several, you know, popular video games over the years. He was talking about how people are like, you know, if you're going to leave Sony and go to PC, you're going to be in the same boat. And he said, well, actually, I bought Cyberpunk on Steam, and I can download those files. I can move it to another computer. I can, you know, get the boot drive or whatever and get it back up and running. I actually own the files that I bought, right? Mm-hmm. And people are like, so you're saying that you could do that with all games, you know, whatever, and they were losing their minds. And what he was trying to say was that, yes, some games have DRM. They're locked to Steam. You have to use Steam, especially multiplayer games. But there's a lot of games. There's a whole website, GOG, that has DRM-free games that you can buy, download the files, and they are yours. Mm-hmm. And what he was trying to say was that Sony having this box that they put all their digital stuff in means it's only Sony. You have no options. PC is an open platform. Yes, there's Steam. Yes, there's Epic. Yes, there's whatever. But the fact that you have all these different options, which is the point, you can do this in certain aspects, right? And so going further, there's also the idea of like, because people are like, you know, I don't know what people are being upset about. When you buy a video game, the game, the disc is just like the access key or whatever, and you're really downloading it online. No.
No. Mm-hmm.
Look at me. No.
No.
There's a whole website dedicated to proving this wrong. Video games are actually on the disc.
Right.
Very few of them aren't. Okay. There's like 95% are on the disc already. Now, you might have like a day one patch if they found some bugs prior to the game launching, usually via review copies and stuff going out. They're like, hey, there's a big bug. You might want to fix that. And they'll send that out. Right. Skyrim is notorious for this on the PS3. the original game when it dropped, it had to have a day one patch because it was broken. It was terrible, right? That being said, majority of the games, The Last of Us 2 even, The Last of Us 2, the entire game is on the disc. What you're doing is you're downloading the game off of the disc and putting it onto your hard drive, and the disc allows you to run it. You don't need the internet. It's been tested. You can play the entire game without the internet. It's not the same same thing, guys. Not the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay? That's how I play The Sims.
Right. Yeah.
And that's another thing that gets dangerous about us not having physical discs, because now you are required to be connected to the internet. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And we're already seeing how that's a problem. So one thing before I get into that was, being that it's locked in PlayStation's box, there's no competition for price. Sony can charge whatever they want. And you just, if you're going to buy it, you have to buy it via them. There's no secondhand market to go to. There's no different store with their own discounts to work through, like Steam. Nope. You just have to buy from Sony. And they're not going to make it cheaper just because they don't have physical copies anymore. I promise you, it's not going to happen.
Yep.
But getting back to what you were saying, right? The games, how do I say this? Not having a physical copy of the game, the same thing we were talking about with the films. If Sony feels like pulling a game, there is nothing you can do about it.
Yep.
You don't. There's no backing it up. Mm-hmm. There's nothing. Just because it's downloaded to your hard drive, it is gone, people. So not only are you have no flexibility in price, not only do you have no secondary market, not only do you have that, you also don't have internet in certain places. They were saying that Marvel took on this fighting game that's coming out pretty soon, that it's going to require a PSN account to actually play. The problem was that PSN isn't available in certain countries. And so by doing that, you have now reduced its player count. Mm-hmm. Certain people are not going to be able to play the game because they can't get on PSN. This is what happened with Helldivers 2 when they made that a switch and people couldn't play anymore. And then they were like, oopsie, our bad. And they took that off. Yeah, this is what's going to happen. And so this idea that people are like, well, I prefer digital. This isn't a problem for me. I say like, yeah, it's not a problem yet.
Right.
It will be pretty quickly. Pretty quickly, but I've been rambling. Tess, how do you feel as someone who would like to enjoy more video games? How do you feel about this digital only thing that's going on right now?
I think they're just making it harder, and that's not the way you make more money. And so I understand the long term thinking about it. Like, I get the idea that they want to make more money with this idea of licensing, with this idea of continuing to force people into these monthly online subscription type things, these subscription bases. Like,
right.
You know, it's just kind of crazy where they're just like, oh, by the way, you can't just spend $700 on a system anymore, which is already psychotic, and then spend $60 to $80 on a game. And then with whatever DLCs that it comes with, I mean, games used to be 30, and now it's like, oh, by the way, if you want the new Tomb Raider with everything, be prepared to pay $85 to $105. I know that because I remember not buying Assassin's, what's the one where they're in Egypt? I remember not buying it until like it was a year
old.
Origins, yeah, because I didn't want to pay $110 for it. I was like, I ain't got that kind of money. I'm broke. I was like, I'm not working. I'm at home battling a concussion. I can't even sit near the television. I gotta play from the next room. I'm 100 feet away. Moving on. But it feels like it's short-term ideas for these companies to make their quarterly earnings and not long-term ideas of keeping consumers happy and trusting the brand and wanting to remain with the brand, because again, they trust the brand. The brand hasn't done them any wrong. And these are ways that we entertain ourselves to escape from our regular lives, because life sucks. And these companies are now just piling on to that. So this dog pile it doesn't end.
Yeah.
Nothing. Capitalism never ends. We can never escape it. We can never get to a happy hiding place where we don't have to worry about that, because it's just chasing us everywhere. It makes me really wonder, because it's like, is this actually not what's the word that goes with longevity, like is it sustainable for the corporation?
Yeah.
But I feel like they will find a way to make sure it is, because people are addicted. Look how we are addicted to our phones. We are addicted to because of the way these things work on our psychological well-being. I mean, well, when the world sucks and all you can do is escape in a game, I mean, I guess you might as well just do whatever you need to do to just keep doing it. So in a way, it seems like it will continue to work for them. At least that's the way they think. And they've hired 17,000 little consultants fresh out of econ school to let them know that this will work. So they're going to keep doing it instead of doing the, I don't even want to say the thing that's right, but like the thing right. that logically makes sense. But again, the way our world works is like logic has just been, I mean, come on, remember, it's 116 degrees outside because of global warming, because some people don't believe it exists because, you know, it's cold today. There's no global warming. You know what? All of you need to go jump
I'm
in that
melting
iceberg.
Yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Be like, we have winter. There's no global warming. Go jump in an iceberg for me and see how that feels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I'll even add, test that, like, not only, I don't think it's sustainable for consumers, mm-hmm. but for the company. It's, I don't even think it's about sustain. I think it's about how they can get the quickest dollar.
Mm-hmm.
The quickest dollar, the most convenient for them. Mm-hmm. It's not convenient. Like, it's in the digitizing of media is under the guise of it being convenient.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But it's more convenient for the companies. And also, these companies do not do a very good job of protecting the consumers, because how many times has Sony, I'm going to put them on the spot, how many times has Sony had a data breach?
Right.
You know, God forbid something happened with all of our digital media, that a data breach, they get our, they've gotten credit card information, mm-hmm. our names and, you know, whatever else, our locations and things like that. What happens when somebody inevitably, unfortunately, hacks into Sony and messes up people's licenses to these games?
Right.
Because that's going to happen, and like, not to be the bearer of bad news, but they do not have a very good track record when it comes to consumer safety and information. This is a terrible, terrible, terrible idea, and we need to, as consumers and as video game players and enjoyers of media mm-hmm. across the board, I think we have to collectively say enough is enough when it comes to things like this. So
they're the ones who made us go through this horrible feeling of who was going to play James Bond. They can't even keep that under wraps. Now crying out loud. Come on, guys.
Right? That's happened so many times with them, from their movies, you know, leaking and whatnot, to you, like you said, it's almost like I won't say annually, because that's not fair. But I want to say Christmas time, usually them and Microsoft get hit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it's like, you're making yourself more of a target, because now you're putting everything digitally.
Yeah. The yearly hackers.
There's also this argument of like, well, everyone's buying digital. Here's the thing. The numbers there are skewed, because digital, when they do those numbers, they don't separate them. For instance, there are some games that are like, let's say indie games, that are only digital. They don't have a physical copy. They count those numbers. They also don't count secondhand, right? And so the amount of people that are actually buying physical the number is bigger than you think.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And there's also people who do the thing where like, I will buy into this digitally and then also get physical. I do this all the time with my films.
Right.
I will buy a physical copy of something and then later on get the digital version, because I want to have the convenience of it. But I know that this can be taken from me at some point, so I'm going to have the physical copy as well. That's, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? That's people who have, let's say you have HBO Max, right? But mm-hmm. you have HBO Max, but you still went and bought the Fresh Prince, because you're like, you know what? I want to have this, you know, just in case something goes down. Or if you're like Netflix, who pissed me off, they freaking made one of my favorite shows, and actually a few others, A Different World, they upscaled it using AI and ruined certain scenes. You know what I'm saying?
So like,
I want the physical copy, because I want it to be the same way I remember it.
Right.
You don't need to upscale it, fam. Just leave it how it is. You know, so that's another thing with people tampering and changing things. There was a whole, I forgot the name of the company, but they got the license to the old Mario shows, the old cartoons or whatever. Mm-hmm. AI did all the crazy. Now all the characters look like how someone would draw Mario if they never saw Mario. Like, that's how bad it looks. It looks really, really
that's
bad.
Scary.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, I just don't see this. I see this working for Sony, unfortunately, because like you said, a lot of people are like, it's digital. It doesn't really bother me. I will buy whatever the case may be. It's going to take a lot of people actually not buying their console. Similarly to the Xbox, when Xbox, I think it was Xbox One, when they were like, you have to have the Kinect and you're not going to be able to trade your games. Once you buy it, it's locked to that console and stuff like that. People are like, we're not buying it. So then they made a 180. I think that's the only way we're going to get Sony to swap. And I don't, Sony fans, man, at the very least though, they are angry. So I'll give them that.
And for myself, I'll say like, I stopped until recently because I wanted to play a specific game. I can't remember what game it was. But I stopped paying for PlayStation Plus because it just did not make sense for me to pay for the video game. I have a PlayStation 5 that has the disc. I remember they were really pushing the digital PlayStation 5 and don't get the one with the disc. You don't need it, blah, blah, blah. No, it's like, I want the disc one. So I have that one. But I stopped paying for PlayStation because they had done, they essentially charged me. And every time I get PlayStation Plus or when I got PlayStation Plus, I would always turn off the auto renew for it because it's like, I'm not even on my PlayStation that often to use the online features or whatever. Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason, it auto renewed. When I saved my email for the auto renew and all that stuff, and I ended up contacting my bank and saying, hey, I was charged for this and I shouldn't have got charged. And I ended up getting the money back, got reached out to PlayStation. They banned my account and essentially forced me to pay for, you know, the year thing again with a PlayStation card. I was like, oh, this is crazy practice. I'm never buying PlayStation Plus again because it's just, and with these, I say all this long story to say, with having a digital copy, a lot of stuff you only have access to if you have PlayStation Plus. You have access to it if you have PlayStation Plus. But if you don't, it locks your game. So you have the content, but you can't play it because you need to have PlayStation Plus and an internet connection. I'm like, why am I paying for internet and paying for PlayStation Plus and playing for this game? Mm-hmm. And so they have a way to consistently keep people within the wheel of them paying money to access things from PlayStation. And we have to, as consumers, we have to recognize, like, okay, this carrot is no longer even worth it anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
And switching to things like, I really like my PC. I enjoyed my PlayStation while it was convenient and helpful for me, but this is no longer serving me in the way that it should. I am hemorrhaging money, giving it to Sony when I could just buy it on something, pay for my internet when paying for the internet, and then keep it pushing, you know?
Agreed. So,
yeah.
And it's rough. That's a, With, because that's things like that have happened with me as well. And like, it sucks because you're like, I want to give you money. It's just, you are making it so difficult to like, just be a fan of yours.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like I have the money, I have the funds and I want to give you money. But then even beyond that, right? Cause some people were like, you know, this idea that you need PSN. Why is that a problem?
Crazy.
Everybody's online. I'm like, well, I do know people who have been deployed,
who
weren't able to get on the internet, right? We did this thing a while back. I was a part of a thing called Operation Supply Drop, where we would stream and we would get donations. And the donations would go towards that company and they would buy video games for people who are deployed. They would get Xboxes and whatever the case may be, get these games, right? And what they would do is, if you need to download anything, they would download it all, you know, where they could, and then they would take it with them. And so once it was on the system, they could just play. They weren't locked in to having to have the internet. And so, yeah, when you're like dealing with war, right? You want to come home and like, you know, play Madden or something. You can actually do that. That's a whole thing. But, you know, saying that you have to have PSN or everything's going to be digital. So you have to have, because what's going to happen with the digital library thing is that you're going to have to check in with Sony to make sure it's not stolen, right? And so you can't do that if you're deployed. So you're missing out on a bunch of people who would actually enjoy buying your system, you know, and if Microsoft is smart, they would just slide right in that regard.
Agreed.
You know what I'm saying? The next thing I want to talk about in terms of, you know, removed and people taking things away from everybody is HBO Max. We need to square up at this point. I think we just need to, you know, all the pleasantries is cool and all that good stuff, but we need to square up. We need to have a, you know what I mean? Because I feel like the way that they're treating their animation department is, or departments, plural, is horrible. And I know this is really Discovery. I really know it's them or whatever. HBO, you know, Warner Brothers has done some crazy stuff, but I know it's Discovery. They removed Samurai Jack from you know, their streaming service. I would never understand removing something you own, not licensed, you own from your streamer. I don't understand it. And what's wild is that people are still watching the show. It wasn't like, now granted, they have the numbers. I don't have the numbers. But I know for a fact I was watching Samurai Jack. Mm-hmm. It's a classic show. And the fact that so many people are upset about it means that people cared that it got removed. I don't understand. At the very least, even if people aren't watching, right? Typically with a streamer, what's watched the most are the stuff that is nostalgic, you know, mm-hmm. because you don't know about this new show that's going to come out, if it's going to have a second season. You don't know if you're going to like this movie. When people are scrolling through stuff and they're like, yeah. I don't know what to watch. Guess what they watch? The comfort things, mm-hmm. the, you know, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air or, yeah. you know, A Different World. That's what they watch, right? At the very least, you want padding. Like, hey, we got all this stuff. And, you know, look at all the things you could watch whenever you get a chance to watch it. That's what keep people subscribed to your, you know, streamer or whatever. When you start removing stuff, especially classic stuff like that, people are like, why am I, if I'm waiting to watch the next big thing that you have, like, you know, House of the Dragon or whatever, I'm going to unsubscribe until it comes back. Mm-hmm. What's keeping me here is the legacy media. Why would you remove it? I don't understand the logic behind it. Now, granted, I will say that Samurai Jack is on the Adult Swim website. Cool. But it was on a streaming app. Like, who goes to, no offense, but who goes to adultswim.com to watch when it was on the app?
I didn't even know. I mean, outside of it being free. Website.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's such a weird thing to do. And I don't understand it. And it's not the first time. We've seen them remove tons of animation. Yeah. They've destroyed one of their buildings. If it wasn't for Ketchup, the company Ketchup, we wouldn't even have the Wile E. Coyote versus Acme movie right. that's coming out soon. Like, wow. There's a lot of interesting decisions. I'll say that. I'm not a business person. I don't own anything to that degree. But very
Discovery's interesting. Not trying to do this for business. And like, if this is definitely Discovery, this is not because something is good. This is because they have their own political agenda that they're pushing. And that is just what they are up to.
That's kind of another thing, too, I'd be thinking about. I don't want to get too political, right. but a lot of the good shows that they're removing have some really good messages, too.
Yeah.
Like,
so, yeah.
Yeah.
And to be fair, it's not even like, because like they canceled. So HBO was doing this initiative where they were highlighting, you know, black led shows. Mm-hmm. So that's where we got the Insecures of the world. Right. Mm-hmm. And Southside. When Discovery bought the company, bought Warner Brothers, a lot of that stopped. Like all those initiatives shut down. Mm-hmm. And it sucks because we got good content. We got a lot of good stuff. Like Insecure won awards.
Yep.
Now, granted, thankfully it was able to end because this happened before they got bought. But there's other shows that got canceled after the first season or second season afterwards because Discovery is your, what do you call it? The TV shows that are like real life based or whatever the case. Mm-hmm. Not like, I guess, MTV Road Rules, but something like that. That's what their bread and butter is. Mm-hmm. And that's what they push. And like people who subscribe to HBO don't necessarily subscribe to that.
No.
Not that there's not any crossover, but I'm saying that when I go to HBO, it's because it's prestige. Like HBO is the a standard. Like, you remember when they took the HBO off and they just had Max?
Right.
Such which a was dumb, the dumbest dumb thing
on the planet. It was just, it was like, why would you do something to something that has consistently proven to work? HBO has been around since Lord knows when. I don't know. I was not born when HBO was a thing, I believe. I'm pretty sure HBO is older than I am. If it isn't, well, I was a child. Okay. And I've been around for a while. So I'm just saying, I will never understand the fact, well, they took the thing away. They took the name away. The name, you know, wasn't that a whole movie? Eddie Murphy, you know. Didn't he win an election because of the name you know? And they're like, who's this black man? Okay. You could have kept the name and then still done all your dirtiness, done all your stuff under the guise of being HBO because you want to know who else is doing that? CNN. Okay. So, yeah, I'll just say it. I'll just come out. I'll say it. But like, it will never make sense to me because it doesn't make sense. And then they realized it was stupid. They lost a whole lot of subscribers. They lost money. And they said, let's go ahead and put it back.
Right. And now they're trying to potentially split up the company and try to sell off portions because it's not working out for them. And I'm not saying that Warner Brothers was like, the fact that they were able to get bought in the manner that they did means that, you know, some things was happening, right? Uh-huh. But I think a lot of that was based on the fact that, you know, COVID happened. Everybody except Netflix was in the red. Every streamer except for Netflix, right? And so, but at the same time, there's a lot of gold here, you know, and I'm just talking about like original HBO. I'm not even talking about when they started having The Sopranos and Oz and all these other shows that won awards and whatnot. Like, when you get into that territory, it's even more crazy that you'd be removing things, you know, just because it's animated. Like, a lot of their animated shows have won awards too. You know what I mean? Regardless, y'all gonna stop disrespecting animation. Like, just stop it. The next thing I wanted to talk about was, really interesting to me was, The Rock being called a coward. I didn't think I would see this based on who said it. Granted, this person has always been outspoken, but it wasn't on my bingo card. Look at that, Variety, shout out to Zach. It says, Dwayne Johnson slammed as a coward for staying quiet on politics. I had mixed feelings about this at first. But I feel like I have a stance now, and I will share in a sec. But basically it goes, Dwayne Johnson is catching flack on social media after he told Esquire magazine earlier this month that he will no longer speak publicly on politics. Right after that, the Star Trek icon, George, how do you say his last name? Takei. He criticized them. He was saying silence is complicity, which I agree. Mm-hmm. He said, so disappointed to find out that he is such a coward. Mm-hmm. And some other actors kind of chimed in as well. Johnson, who's currently embarking on global press tour for live action Moana, which I understand why he wouldn't want to be talking about political stuff right now, considering that film's about to drop. He said his goal is to bring this country together. This is where it was a red flag to me. He said, I believe in that. There will be no endorsement at this level of influence. I will keep my politics to myself. It is between me and the ballot box. He said, what I've learned through experience is that I need to keep want to keep my mouth closed, essentially. The main thing for me is that in the morning, I swing my legs out of bed. I run towards the things that I run towards is creating. It's art. It's storytelling. I've learned I'm going to keep my politics to myself. There are moments when there's nothing we can't talk about. If I'm wrong, I'll tell you that I'm wrong. And if I feel that I got a leg up and this is the right way to go, I'll share that with you. But politics is omnipresent. It's forever. I don't like it. I hate it at all times. I hate the slinging and basically the infighting and all this other stuff is why he doesn't want to say anything.
What a beautiful word salad he created.
Mm-hmm. Correct. And that's not me skipping over words. He actually said that way. And, you know, they talk about how certain other actors and actresses have been under fire for the same things. So one of the reasons why I was hesitant to say anything about it. Well, actually, let me save what I'm going to say. Let me let somebody else start. Shel, how do you feel about this?
I think to be an actor is ultimately you are going to, and they reference in the article, you know, another actor or an actress, Jennifer Lawrence, and how she kind of had her stance kind of similar to The Rock, but still in a way taking a stance. But I think in order to be an actor, what you're producing is going to be not all the time, but there's going to be some kind of stance or a statement that you're trying to make.
Right.
And to not have a statement about certain things, especially things that I don't think people's livelihood is political. I think that's a human thing. I think that is a humanitarian thing Some stuff, sure. Like, okay. It's like, if you don't like, I don't, something as trivial as you prefer hamburgers over hot dogs. Okay, cool. But like, if it's something that people don't deserve to live a certain way or love a certain way or even be alive in this or live in this country or, you know, their rights are being revoked, or they're not getting access to a fair trial or a fair, you know, just fair access to, okay, should you even be here? You know, it's no longer political. It's now moral. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right.
And
right.
I think a lot of these people at the risk of, they don't want to lose their platform. They don't want to lose their influence. They don't want to lose their access. They don't want to lose their finances or their resources. They would rather shut up and dribble, so to speak, then make a stance. And something that's really stuck with me when I was in ministry was sitting on the fence, you've already made your stance.
Yeah.
And sitting on a fence, you've already chosen a side. And it is dangerous when people say, well, I don't want to say anything. I don't want to get too political. I don't want to blah, blah, blah. Well, now you have chosen the side of the oppressor. Or now you've chosen the side of the people who are going to do something that's morally bankrupt, you know? When you just sit by and you know something is wrong and you don't stand up and speak up about it.
Right.
So I feel like that is very frustrating. It's very sad. And a lot of these companies do have sway over the actors and actresses and the people that are involved. Because it's like, yeah, now they're not getting, now they're blacklisted, you know? But I think it's important that we do, that people collectively recognize, no, this is wrong and it needs to be spoken up about. And not even so much it needs to be spoken up about, but I think when people voice their stances, it encourages other people who have a different perspective or maybe even a different stance to come to the table. And now we can actually have conversations that orchestrate and bring a possibility for a better change. So, yeah.
What about you, Tess?
Yeah, I think he dumb for that.
Real dumb.
Because, like, I don't know how the conversation was going, you know? Like, but then for him to just be like, yes, I don't talk about politics anymore. It kind of sounds dumb. Like, why? How did it get there to the, you know, when what do they say? Like, a hit dog will holler or something like that. Like, you know, it's like, hey, why are you saying this at all? It's like when somebody says something about, I don't know. It's about like, well, I don't smoke. And then people are like, nobody was talking about smoking right now. What are you saying? Hey, hello? Hello? So again, I don't know how their little conversation was going in their little interview or whatnot, but I'm just saying, like, I don't know what forced him to say, oh, I'm no longer going to talk about politics because, you know, I want to bring this country together. The country is already divided. And just like, if you're going to sit there and say, or if you're going to sit there and say, well, what I say is not going to bring us together, then it wasn't that important anyway. It can, like, I'm trying to say it in a manner in which if you're sitting there choosing to say that I'm no longer going to speak my feelings on this because it's going to add to the divisiveness. It makes me question, like, is that actually the thing? If you're saying that it's just going to make things worse, then you're probably saying shit. Okay? Because you believe,
right.
I'm assuming that he believes his feelings are good, his feelings would actually bring us together. But no, you know that what you're saying is trash then. So what you, if you feel that what you're saying is going to tear us further apart, then you believe the shit.
Or rather, to, because I see what you're saying, is mostly like, if your stance is good, then your concern shouldn't be on whether or not it's splitting anything up because your stance is good. The idea that, like, I'm just going to say something and it's going to cause more drama, that's not the first thing we think of when we say, you know, like, when we witness police brutality or whatever. We don't go, hey, if I say this cop shouldn't have hit this person 1,000 times, that is going to make more. No, you're going to be like, no, this is just a bad thing. I'm saying a good thing. And it should be like, why are you arguing with me? This is a good thing. What are we doing? Like, that should be the response. And that's kind of how that. So I wanted to give him some, cut him some bail, because I do believe in the idea of, if you don't know enough about something to be quiet, if you have a really, really, really big platform, which he does, right? And you don't fully understand what is happening, I don't think you should just blurt out the first thing that pops in your mind. I remember, like, years ago with Kanye, when he was like, you know, President Bush doesn't like black people. I understand his fervor for what he said, based on what was happening at the time. But in his assessment was actually incorrect about why certain things weren't happening. I'm not going to get into that because that's a whole thing, but he was wrong on air to say that.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I wanted to co-sign, I was like, the reason that you're bringing up, if I'm being fair, it doesn't apply to this particular person, unfortunately. And so you just made a spectacle of yourself. And this happens a lot with celebrities where they just don't know what it is they're talking about and they just say whatever. So if his stance was like, you know what, especially on a press tour for a Disney film, I'm not going to just say whatever. Totally fine. But when he gets into this idea of like the world is divided or the U.S. is divided, blah, 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 blah. I'm like,
it was when he started elaborating. It was like,
yeah,
oh.
Then it sounded like it sounded like baloney. This is malarkey. Like, it's like,
yes,
you stand for what you stand for. OK, like, I don't, if we're talking about Moana, if Moana's coming out, there's nothing wrong with you. You know, if you have your ideas and your views, but that's not what the tour is about. That's not what the press tour is about. That's not even necessarily what Moana is about. So and that's why I'm sitting here like, I don't know what caused this conversation to happen, because it seems weird. It seems misplaced. It seems like, how did this end up in the interview? Now, I know interviewers can be asking all kinds of questions and get people caught up.
Right.
But, you know, you're being interviewed and you can just be like, bruh. Next question. You want my interview?
I'd like to keep it on Moana. Right. Yeah. You know?
Right. And
because
my concern.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No. Say what you're going to say. Mm-hmm.
I was just going to say my concern is if he was outspoken about Trump during his first term, which he was, what changed?
Right.
What changed your opinion that you feel like you don't have a dog in this fight, so to speak? Not the best analogy, but like if you don't have a, like, what you have to say does not matter. Or did someone pay you? Has something changed to where it's like you would rather stay silent when we actually need you and many, many others to speak up?
Exactly.
Right. And are you saying this because you're afraid of any type of backlash? You're mm-hmm. afraid that certain people aren't going to go watch your films? Are you afraid that, you know, these things are going to happen? Because that's understandable. But then that's where the idea of you being a coward comes in. And I don't know The Rock. Or whatever, but he seems like a, from what he gives off online.
Dwayne, come on the show and defend yourself. Come on.
Right.
Wonderful.
He seems like,
come tell us.
He seems like a, he seems like a people pleaser. Like the way mm-hmm. he responds is very holistic in the sense of like, I want everybody to be happy. And taking a stance on something means that some people aren't going to be happy and it's okay for them not to be happy.
He'll tell you.
Right. Based on what you're standing on, like, you know, I also understand him being like, the ballot box is between me. I do understand because people keep that private anyways.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. But we can get a sense of where you're going if you're like, hey, this law is terrible. Them removing this from schools is terrible. Them funding this is terrible. Them doing like all of that is fine. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like. That's when I start to roll my eyes when it's this whole like someone said, I remember on Facebook, which is why I don't frequent one of the reasons I don't go to Facebook anymore that much. It was talking about a racial something that happened where race was involved. And it was like there was a negative thing and everybody who saw what happened was like the officer was in the wrong. Like just blanket wide, there's no room for debate. And people would go, I wish people would stop bringing up race. I wish people would stop doing this because it's tearing this country apart. And I'm like, so us mentioning that the person who was brutalized was black is the issue, not the actual brutal treatment, not the removal of rights, not the you know, sanctioned murder. None of that. It bothers you. But the idea that me talking about this makes you uncomfortable, and because it makes you uncomfortable is somehow putting a divide. So your discomfort, because that's so important, more important than the lives of people who you call friend, you don't want us to talk about it. That's what you're saying.
Right.
That's what you're saying. Like, and that is like such a annoying, it's not whataboutism, but it's kind of close. Like you are so stuck in this, like, I don't want to rattle the fence. I just kind of want to, hey, let's just go to the movies. Let's just go, you know, to the concerts. Let's just go do these things. Let's live our lives. Let's not worry about these things. Like, I don't see color. And I'm like, these things are real. going back to what you were saying about politics and humanity, like my life, like we use this fancy word politics, but it should be like pushed towards like the president or like Congress. Mm-hmm. That's politics, right? But people's lives are just that.
Yeah.
So this law affecting my life, that's just, you know, stop and frisk in New York or whatever, when that was the thing. That affects people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's mm-hmm. not politics. That's just our life. And the fact that, okay, you don't see color. Incredibly stupid thing to say. But you don't see color. Well, the person who's, you know, stomping all over my rights do, because they're picking me because of my color.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that actually help? And how does that bring people together? Because there's this whole fear of us splitting more apart. But what is bringing us together? What are you bringing that's going to make everybody kind of coexist nicely? And the only thing I can see is that you're going to be quiet.
Right.
That doesn't address the problem.
Nope.
Because the people that are going to be doing the wrong thing are going to actively continue to do the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because no one is speaking up against them.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. And so in this sense, Mr. Rock, I have to agree. That sounds kind of cowardly.
Yep.
I wouldn't say that to your face.
Mr. Rock.
I'm going to say it to his face because he can't hit me. He can't punch me in the face. That's a battery. Okay. I'm not one of your little wrestling friends.
Okay.
Why did they have a black mama all over that?
Okay.
Not one of your little friends.
Not one of your little friends.
My hope is that The Rock, as many times as he portrays a hero and somebody who stands up for the little guy, and, you know, going in, this bronze dude, just not bronze, but brawny dude, like just, you know, walking up and doing stuff. I hope that he would reconsider his stance and actually speak up and do, not only just speak up, but put his resources and his money where his mouth is, you know, since he don't want to say nothing. But I hope he starts to say some more stuff and speak out and actually portray and be what often the roles that he chooses to advocate for himself.
Right.
And yeah, that sucks.
And that, you know what I'm saying? And that's not, you know, and to like I said, you know, how much you want to do it or how little is on you, right? Because not everybody, you know, I was talking with Kai from Spawn on Me, and he was talking about how his, you know, I believe his mom, or not mom, grandmother was an activist. And he's like, it takes work. It takes a lot mm-hmm. of work, and you still have a family and all this other things, but like life's responsibility doesn't stop. Right. So I'm not asking him necessarily to march. I'm not asking him to do certain things, but you know, any help is help. Right. So if you're like, you know what, I don't think this is a good idea, like just on Twitter or whatever, that'll be picked up by whoever it gets picked up by. And then there's some traction there. You know what I'm saying? Donating money to certain things. Like there's things that you can do as opposed to just being like, I'm just going to be in my little bubble and promote the next movie. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, or not, you know, or not. But yeah, dope show today. Shout out to you guys for listening to us. If you're listening on YouTube, feel free to subscribe and hit that notification bell so you're up on all the new content. If you're listening on iTunes, Spotify, dope, continue to do so. But if you could also subscribe to our YouTube channel, because we're trying to get those numbers up, because I have plans, and those plans require more people to be subscribed. Yeah. It's just how life is. You got to have the numbers. You got to have the numbers, right? So I dig it, because I have a lot of people who tell me that they listen all the time on Spotify, and I've seen the numbers go up, especially in other countries, surprisingly enough. So shout out to y'all, continue to do so. But if you could just mosey on over to the YouTube and hit that subscribe button, that would be dope as well. I have a lot of good stuff. You know, we have a lot of good stuff planned for you, essentially. Shout out to, Roni Shogun for hanging out with us and chatting
with
us.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate y'all.
Yes.
We had a great, great time. I believe, this will be up pretty soon. Breaking the fourth wall right now is Sunday, so it should be up Monday depending on how things go.
Nice.
And for the people who are looking for, you know, a condensed version, there will be cuts and edits and all that good stuff. So please stick around. But that's it for me.
Okay, well,
pleasure.
Yeah, thanks everyone. Well, yeah, you get to do your outro before me.
Oh, wow. Okay, well,
thank you
so much. You guys can find me at Roni Shogun everywhere, TikTok, Twitch, Twitter, Instagram, Bebo, MySpace. No, I'm kidding. I don't have Bebo and MySpace anymore. But, you know, it's Roni Shogun. They might have a difficult time spelling that. That's R-U-R. O-U-N-I, and then Shogun, S-H-O-G-U-N. Good luck. But yeah, thank you guys so much for having me. This is, I love really good, deep conversations, and it's always a good time watching you guys' podcast on YouTube. That's where I watch and enjoy. but I appreciate you guys so much for having me. And these conversations are extremely crucial and important, and it's the only way that we take the proper steps into bringing about the necessary positive change. So yeah, thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
Definitely. Definitely. We're glad to have you. Everybody, it's the same thing. Thanks for hanging around with us. We would just like to remind you all to not be a dick.
Right.
Just don't be a dick. To wash your hands, wash your face.
Yes.
Wash your butts. And you're going to need to wash your underarms too. You're going to need to wash everything. It's really hot outside, like we said before.
Yes.
It's 2 days now, okay? It's 2 day showers, and you might want to, get a new deodorant, like a new one.
Okay.
Okay.
Without the parabens, okay, hey, and the yes. and the nasty metals and the things metal. Like aluminum. That. Make sure you're taking care of your aluminum. Okay. None of that foil in you.
When I was about to be like, hey, people, just go ahead and get the aluminum for the next month. Okay? And then just go.
Listen. Listen.
Woo.
But that's really it. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you guys next time. Bye-bye.
Later.